the supplication on Fridays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, the first before the bringing forth and the giving of life, and the last after the annihilation of all things. The All-Knowing who forgets not him who remembers him, and decreases not him who thanks him, and disappoints not him who supplicates him, and cuts not off the hope of him who hopes in him. O Allah, I call thee to witness, and thou art sufficient witness. And I call to witness all thy angels, and the inhabitants of thy heavens, and the bearers of thy throne, and thy prophets, and thy messengers whom thou hast sent out, and the various kinds of creatures thou hast brought forth, that I bear witness that thou art Allah. There is no God but thou, thou alone, who hast no associate nor any equal, and thy word has no failing nor any change, and that Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, is thy servant and thy messenger. He delivered to the servants that with which thou charged him, and he struggled for Allah as is his due. And he gave the good news of the truth of reward, and he warned of the veracity of punishment. O Allah, make me firm in thy religion as long as thou keepst me alive, and make not my heart to swerve after thou hast guided me, and give me mercy from thee. Surely thou art the giver. Bless Muhammad and the household of Muhammad, and make me one of his followers and his partisans, and muster me in his band, and give me the success of accomplishing the obligatory observance of Friday, and performing the acts of obedience which thou hast made incumbent upon me within it, and receiving the bestowal which thou hast apportioned for its people on the day of recompense. Thou, only thou, art the mighty wise.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Salamun alaikum, dear friend. Inshallah, you are doing well. So welcome. This is another episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. I invite you to listen to us. First, we'll look at the calendar. Then we're going to speak about promoting humanity. So please be with us.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single day my life, with every breath. I solemnly promise to try to live my life for you. Oh Allah, you did revive my soul and shone your light into my heart. So pleasing you is now my only goal. Oh, I love you so, I love you so.
Today, Thursday, 14th of Jamadi Uthani, 1445 of the Islamic lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 7th of day, 1402 of the Islamic solar Hijri calendar, and the 28th of December, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran, and we'll listen to chapter Az-Zumar, verse 73. Then we'll speak about it.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. وسيق الذين اتقوا ربهم إلى الجنة زمرا حتى إذا جاءوها وفتحت أبوابها وقال لهم خزنتها سلام عليكم طبتم فادخلوها خالدين.
But those who feared their Lord will be driven to paradise in groups until when they reach it while its gates have been opened and its keepers say, "Peace be upon you, you have become pure." So enter it to abide eternally therein. They will enter.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Purity is the prerequisite to being admitted to paradise, which has come into being owing to either someone's primordial natural disposition or repentance. According to a narration narrated from Imam Ali, peace be upon him, paradise has 8 gates, each of which is for a certain group. One for prophets and sincerely devout believers, one for martyrs and good doers, 5 for my adherent or Shias, and 1 for Muslims who bear no grudge against me.
My life is not the same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? Doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know, amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. You are the light, guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in the world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone, anything in life but you. No, I don't need anyone to show me my way. No, I don't need anyone but you.
Our topic is about promoting humanity. The concept of human in Islam is seen in a treaty that the Prophet partook before his prophethood, which is translated to the League of the Virtues. Written up after the mistreatment of a Yemeni merchant, the treaty promised to uphold justice for all who were oppressed in Mecca, regardless of their status and background. During his prophethood, the Prophet still acknowledged the validity and value of the treaty, saying, "It was more beloved to me than a herd of red camels, and if I were called to it now in the time of Islam, I would respond." It is through this treaty that we see Islam following a set of principles and morals that are grounded in practicality and also protecting the rights and dignity of people.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. How can we be a better human? What does Islam or other religions say about achieving success to be a better person, a better personality, or to be a human? The next factor that we need to look at is remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Relationship with Allah and love of Him not only result in peace, tranquility, and calmness of the heart and mind, but they are also considered to be among the effective causes of spiritual growth, as well as perfection of other personality aspects. Worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and communion with the Lord lead to piety and continence, and piety leads to man's prosperity and salvation. The next factor, or let's say the seventh factor that we want to look at and talk about, is sincerity that makes us a better human. Sincerity is a rare elixir which affects man's action. Sincerity has been defined as showing yourself as you really are and being inwardly what you show yourself to be. It also means to be free from ostentation and polytheistic conducts. One of the impacts of sincerity is success in life. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, in this regard, success is the undertaking referred to making your intentions more sincere. The eighth factor is making recourse to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. The household of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are like stars shining and leading mankind to the right path. They are the best role models. Following them and adhering to their teachings will lead to success.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Today's special speak about moral behavior. Islamic tradition holds that moral qualities and good actions elevate the status of a man. The Quran and the Hadith serve as the primary source of moral and ethical guidance in Islamic theology. Both the Quran and the Hadith often speak in emphatic manners to instruct the Muslims to adopt a morally good character. In particular, respecting parents and elders, having love for younger, greeting people in correct manner, showing kindness to fellow people, caring for the sick, asking permission before entering into others' house, speaking the truth, and avoiding rude and false speech have been emphasized. The typical Islamic teaching is that imposing a penalty on an offender in proportion to their offense is permissible and just, but forgiving the offender is better. To go one step further by offering a favor to the offender is regarded the highest excellence. Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny said, "The best among you are those who have the best manners and character." To the Muslims, the examples of moral virtues set by Prophet Muhammad and his Ahlul Bayt serve as guidance both practically and theologically. One way or tip for becoming more human is when thinking H to H. Remember, H to H equals H plus H. Humor and humility. Take 5 seconds and think about the three friends you love being around the most. I bet boredom, arrogance are not words you associate with them. Levity brings the mood up and humility opens up space for forgiveness and acceptance. If you can establish an atmosphere of humor and humility, you will go a long way toward growing your audience, moving them to action, and giving you grace if an issue does arise.
I would like to talk about the worth of a human being from the Islamic point of view. And as a preamble to that, let me talk about, you know, the position of human being in the world. And this is where we look at the social dimension of Islam and the Ummah. You know, this is where people have to actually get together. They use their talent, their knowledge, their expertise, and their, you know, ability to do hard work and help one another. This is where ta'awun comes in. This is where they really, you know, help one another. In most of the cases, when we talk about this interdependency of human beings in a society, this is done on a give-and-take basis. You know, so you have a doctor, uses his talent, his expertise and knowledge to treat himself and his children. But not only that, he will also treat other people who are not doctors. But when he does it for them, he will charge a fee. On the other hand, for example, you will have somebody who is a teacher, has the ability to teach. Not all parents can be good teachers. Actually, even good teachers cannot be good teachers for their own children. You know, so then you need help of somebody else. Now, other person will use his expertise, his knowledge to teach your children. In return, he will say, I want the fees. This is how the community basically, you know, the society moves further, that we use our ability and our talent and our time to help one another. And collectively, we are able to bring everyone to a higher level. Salawat. And so that, you know, give and take is very normal. But then there are some people in the society, in all communities, who use their expertise, who use their knowledge, their ability to work hard. They use their time in order to serve the community without asking for anything back. And this is what is known as volunteerism.
That was all for today's special, and of course, to promote humanity. Inshallah, we continue this topic. So follow us on parstoday.ir/en. Thank you very much, and fi amanillah.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. We now present you a famous statement by Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, about the merits of his daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. Fatima is a part of me. Whoever hurts her has hurt me. And whoever hurts me displeases God. Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Al-Qadim alayhi salam. This hadith is about the reward that a person will get who has access to something unlawful and prohibited, but who abandons it for the sake of Allah. This hadith is actually a story from the life of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Imam Qadim alayhi salam said the following: the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam used to visit the people of the ledge of the mosque. The people of the ledge of the mosque, these were known as the Ahlus Suffa or Ashabus Suffa. These were a very poor group of Muslims who had migrated with the Prophet from Mecca to Medina. And, you know, they didn't have any money and they were very poor. So the Prophet allowed them to stay in the Masjid al-Nabi, in the Prophet's mosque. There, they used to stay there and sleep there and, you know, live there. And, you know, they were very poor. And this is a story about them. The Prophet used to visit the people of the ledge of the mosque who were his guests and had migrated to Medina without their families and belongings. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam had lodged them on the ledges of the mosque. They were 400 men, and he greeted them every morning and every night. One day he came to them while some of them were mending their sandals, some were patching their garments, and some were cleaning their heads from lice. The Prophet used to provide them with half a bushel of dates every day. Used to give them, you know, some dates every day so they could eat from that and survive. One of the men stood up and said, "O Messenger of Allah, the dates you provide us with have burned our stomachs." You know, if you've consumed dates, you know that Their temperament is very hot. So this, you know, this was discomforting for these people, and they complained to it from the Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "If I could feed you the whole world, surely I would have done it. But know that amongst you, who will live after me, there are those who will live after me who will be brought bowls of food in the morning and bowls in the evening. And each of you will have a shirt in the morning and another in the evening. And each of you will adorn your houses with curtains and carpets as the Kaaba is adorned." Right? This is an allusion to the fact that after the death of the Prophet, these people would eventually become very wealthy and rich. A man then rose and exclaimed, "O Messenger of Allah, we are eagerly waiting for that time. When will it be?" He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "Your time now is better than that time, when you will fill your stomachs with the lawful, but you might also fill it with the unlawful." Right? Indicating the fact that it's better to be poor than to acquire wealth from unlawful and impermissible means. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the reward of the person who keeps away from unlawful and impermissible things at the time of, with the time he has power to consume them and use them. Until next time, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآن جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفران يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآن.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. So I'm really happy that again I have brothers Ali Nasir, Hussein Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah and Fawad Haider with us here in this session. Assalamu alaikum and welcome everyone. Salam Hussein, how are you?
Wa alaikum salam sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you. Ali Nasir?
Alhamdulillah sir.
Alhamdulillah. Great. Good. Hassan?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
And Fawad, how is it going?
Everything's fine, sir.
Alhamdulillah. So, brothers and sisters, we are ready and we are fine. We are energetic. Inshallah, hope you are the same. Let's get started. Inshallah, today we will talk about Ayah 117. Inna Rabbaka huwa a'lamu man yudhillu an sabilihi wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. And Ayah 118. فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. The two verses of Surah Al-An'am, 117 and 118, on page 142, bottom of the page. So,
Let's listen to the recitation once.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن ربك هو أعلم من يضل عن سبيله وهو أعلم بالمهتدين فكلوا مما ذكر اسم الله عليه إن كنتم بآياته مؤمنين.
Nice recitation, mashallah. We'll move on to the explanation once. Have a short explanation. Make sure you refer to the Tafasir books in case you want to learn the detailed explanation. I will have a short one here. Just an introduction to the ayah, then we'll mention the tajweed rules and we'll practice the recitation. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Let's see what Allah Almighty says in these two ayatain of Surah Al-An'am. Inna, ayah 117. Inna rabbaka huwa a'lamu man yadillu an sabilih. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ إِنَّ means indeed, certainly. It is used for, one of the words of certainty. Okay? إِنَّ for sure. Indeed or for sure, your Lord knows best those who stray from His way. Those who stray from His way. Go other way.
Yeah.
وَهُوَ Allah Almighty is أَعْلَمُ and He knows, He is most knowledgeable or He knows best. وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِالْمُهْتَدِينَ and He knows best those who are guided. مُهْتَدِي or مُهْتَدَى, مُهْتَدَى, okay? With مَهْدِي. مَهْدِي means the one who has been, who was guided from the beginning, okay? By Allah Almighty. Like we say, Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. He is guided. Okay? I mean, he was on the right path from the beginning. Okay? But muhtadin are those who will be guided. They were not guided, but Allah Almighty helped them. And also they, by their free will, they choose the right path. Okay? And Allah Almighty also bless them. So they will be guided. Okay?
Yes.
So Imam, when we say Imam al-Mahdi, okay? It means he was. The first he was on the right path. Path of Allah Almighty. Okay?
Yes.
Next one. Fakulu. This ayah talks about eatings. Fakulu. Eat. What? Eat. What should we eat?
Halal.
Food. Eat food. Okay. What kind of... it talks about meats. Okay? Meat. Animals. So, what animals can we eat? Who can say? Any type of meat, any type of animals that you see in the world, no. You can eat?
No.
Halal meat.
Halal meat. So, this nice one, nice answer. But what does this halal one mean?
Permissible.
I mean, permissible, I know, man. I mean, what do we mean by halal? Something is halal, this meat is halal, and this meat is haram. What do we mean by this?
The factors that Islam give us. According
how
to
the criteria, the conditions that Allah Almighty has, the Islam has given us. Like if the meat or the animal,
yeah.
First of all, the animal must be from halal animals,
yeah.
Eatable animals. Okay, you cannot hunt a bear, okay? You cannot hunt what, for example, a lion, okay? And you say, oh, I fulfill the conditions now. Okay, I say, Allahu Akbar, I slaughtered it in Islamic way, I eat it. No, it is a haram animal to eat, okay? We have animals with haram meat, we have animals with
halal
meat. So, these animals from halal, who have halal meat, some of them I name for you. Who can name?
Chicken,
okay?
Cow.
Goat.
Sheep.
Fish.
Fish is like fish from the fishes. Animal seas they are.
Uh-huh.
All types of fishes, no, you cannot.
Yeah, some.
Okay, look, from domestic animals. From domestic animals like what? Cows, camels, goats, sheep.
Chicken.
Chicken from the birds, yeah. Chicken, like ostrich. You can, yeah.
ostriches, like you can eat most of the birds are eatable, okay? You will, inshallah, study in the book At'ama wal Ashraba in the Islamic law. We study this, okay? At'ama means the eatable things, the foods. Ashraba means things that you can drink, drinkable things, yeah. Okay? So in Islamic law, there is a book, At'ama wal Ashraba. You can refer to the Islamic laws, okay? The books of the scholars, you can find out. But so these animals, like buffalo is also edible, okay? Yeah. Because it's a type of cow. Like antelope, deer, these are edible, okay? You can eat
them, ox.
Okay? These animals that I mentioned, they are edible. Like horse and donkey, they are edible, but they are makruh.
Yeah.
They are halal, but they are makruh, okay? But the other animals, like lion, like tiger, like elephant, like all these animals are haram. So guys, Allah Almighty says, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. Eat from those animals, okay? The halal meat, those ones with halal meat, not all of them, over which Allah Almighty's name has been mentioned. There are conditions. You should face the Qibla, okay? Face the animal towards Qibla. You should use, for example, iron. You should
give them water.
Yeah. No, these are mustahab things, but the wajib conditions. Okay, so these are the messages from this ayah, inshallah. Refer to the tafasir books, also to the Islamic laws, the books, okay, jurisprudence. You can learn more. All right?
Yes.
قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي.
How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran? What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Now, let's mention some of the tajweed rules and inshallah practice the recitation. Recite a salawat, everyone.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajhum.
Inna rabbaka. The word inna has a noon mushaddad. Whenever you have noon mushaddad or mim mushaddad, you should pronounce it with
a nasal sound.
Also, stretch the sound
or
extend the sound for
two counts.
Inna rabbaka, not inna rabbaka. Stretch the sound. Ra has a heavy sound, okay? Because it has a fatha. Huwa a'lamu. Make sure you pronounce hamza and ayn correctly. A'lamu, not a'lamu. Or not a'lamu, and also not a'lamu. A'lamu. A'lam. Okay?
Yes.
Man yadillu an sabilihi. How do you read that?
May
yadillu ahsan. Idgham. May yadillu an sabilihi.
Ikhfa.
Hide the sound of noon. An sabilihi. If you continue reading. Sabilihi wa huwa. But Hassan, can we make a pause here? Because we have a stopping sign. Sila. What does that say, Hassan?
It says that it's better to continue, but you can make a pause.
Mm. Good job. Sila says, wasl is better than waqf. Yes?
Yes.
Wa huwa a'lamu bil muhtadin. There's no special rule, only an extension at the end. If you want, you can extend it, okay? To beautify the recitation. Next ayah, fakulu mimma. Aha. In the previous ayah, we had noon mushaddad. Here we have mim mushaddad, yes? Is that exactly mim mushaddad?
Mimma?
Yeah. No.
No.
It is minma. They are merged. Mimma.
Yeah.
Okay. It means from those. Min means from those animals. Okay. In mimma dhukirasmullah. You ignore the hamzat al-wasl. Dhukirasmullahi. Pronounce the word Allah with a heavy sound. Allah. Alayhi in kuntum. In kun. Both noon. both of the noons will be pronounced with a hidden sound. In kuntum, tum ends with mim. Next, we have ba. Mim approaches ba. Mim sakin approaches ba. Ikhfa, mashallah. You hide the sound. In kuntum, we have the ikhfa of noon. We have ikhfa of mim. Both the letters will be what? Pronounced with a hidden sound.
Yes.
You hide the sound. بِآيَاتِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ. That's all. Very simple and easy. Now that you have learned explanation and also the the tajweed rules, let's recite them beautifully, inshallah. Okay? Brothers and sisters, please, together with Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, and Fawad, listen and repeat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
إن ربك هو أعلم من يضل عن سبيله.
إن ربك هو أعلم من يضل عن سبيله
وهو أعلم بالمهتدين
وهو أعلم بالمهتدين
فكلوا مما ذكر اسم الله عليه إن كنتم بآياته مؤمنين
فكلوا مما ذكر اسم الله عليه إن كنتم بآياته مؤمنين
إن كنتم بآياته مؤمنين إخفاء with meme, okay? Don't forget it. Read it.
إن كنتم بآياته مؤمنين
أحسنت صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
أحسنتم. Thank you so much, brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio. Thank you so much for being with us till the end of this session. Stay with us in the coming sessions, inshallah, we'll be here with you again. Hassan, Hussein, Ali Nasir, Fawad, thank you so much. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevilla International School. See you, inshallah. That's all from us for today. Wassalamu alaikum. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up
In a world that gives it all away, proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed, smiling he would say, I am a Muslim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, in which we try to ask and answer some of the questions related to the Islamic laws based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we embark on our episode, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that. Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, my guest speaker, as always. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We are still working on some of the jurisprudential laws about khums, based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, is khums applicable to that kind of money which is saved from monthly salary to purchase some stuff, you know, for the wedding, for example, in the future?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, again, I should say that this is a matter of, you know, controversy among the Shia scholars. Some believe that khums should be paid on anything over which 1 year runs. And some other scholars of the view that no, as long as it's an essential thing and as long as you cannot buy it in the future and you want to buy it now to be prepared for the wedding,
mm-hmm.
so you don't have to pay khums on it. Now, this is the viewpoint of His Eminence Grand Ayatollah Khamenei. He says that, for example, if you save the money you receive as your monthly, for example, salary,
mm-hmm.
Of course, in the event that you want to use the money to buy necessary items for your wedding within several days, for example,
yes.
You don't have to pay khums. For example, today is your khums date, and you're supposed to calculate all the asset and money that you have saved up.
Yes.
But maybe after a week or maybe after 10 days, you are going to buy something for your wedding. So you will not be able to buy it if you spend your money or if you pay khums on the money.
Mm-hmm.
So within several days, you are going to buy it. According to Ayatollah Khamenei, it's not necessary to pay khums on the money, which is saved for that very purpose.
Mm-hmm. I see.
Yes.
Only for the wedding, you mean? Like, what about the necessities of life? Does it also apply to that kind of money saved?
Of course, in the answer given by His Eminence, he has just mentioned the term, he has used the term wedding, you know.
Mm.
But, you know, when
I understand if it is saved, if the money is saved for luxurious life, like items.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to, for example, live a life of luxury, that's a different story.
That's a different story, yeah.
But what about the necessities of
life? For example, you want to buy a washing machine, which you need. You can't wash your clothes.
You can't ignore this.
You need a refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
and also some, let's say, rugs or carpets.
Yes.
You can't live in your house without a carpet. So yes. These are essential items, okay? And no one is going to blame you for buying these things, okay?
Yes.
These are not something in addition, luxurious.
Yes.
Every individual must have or needs to have something like a carpet or rug or refrigerator to live a comfortable life, mm-hmm. not a luxurious life. So he does not have to pay khums on the money that goes towards buying these things.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay. There's another question, Sheikh Javid. We all know that it's mentioned in the book Tahrir al-Masira, written by Ayatollah Imam Khomeini, that a woman's dowry is not subject to khums.
Yeah.
But, you know, the question is, it didn't specify whether it's for the dowry that is paid at the time of the marriage or deferred.
You're right.
Would you please explain this?
Well, we do know that that the dowry or mahar, which is fixed by both parties to the marriage, is either paid immediately by the husband, or it is a kind of deferred payment, which is paid by the husband at any time upon demand. Okay, the wife demands and wants the dowry to be paid. The husband will have to pay it because it's a debt, which the husband has to pay it. If he does not pay it, he will be liable for it. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether the pay is, for example, is due, whether it is the money has to be paid immediately or it's paid at a later time. In either case, according to all religious scholars, there is no khums paid on dowry. No khums is payable on mahr. This is a matter of consensus.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Shavit. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on RIB English Radio. Stay with us.
The followers of Ayatollah Khomeini can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Allah, ya Allah, guide me all the way to your Jannah, ya Allah, oh Allah, don't let me go astray, cause I need you.
Back to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Shastavid, our guest speaker. We're still talking about some of the jurisprudential laws related to homes based on the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. Shastavid, if an individual at the time that he was alive, he recorded or she recorded in their diary the amount of homes they owed.
Yes.
And, of course, those individuals, they were determined to pay it, but they died, all right?
Yes.
After their death, their family, their entire family, with the exception of one, for example, daughter,
yes,
refused to pay the juhums. And they're using the state for their own use and the deceased expenses, as well as other things. Would you please tell our audience about Ayatollah Khamenei's opinion regarding this matter?
And this is a very good issue. If the deceased person has provided in his will that a part of his property is to be paid for homes, or actually the heirs are certain that the deceased owed an amount of homes, it is necessary that they act accordingly. Of course, they are not permitted under any circumstances to use the estate before they carry out the deceased's or the deceased person's will. So they should pay the khums that deceased person owed. And of course, it's necessary that they seriously determine to settle the khums debt and execute the will without carelessness. You know, it is very urgent and also very important that the heirs should act according to the will left by the husband, by the man of the family, or by the individual.
Mm.
So, if he has any debt to be paid, it should be paid off. If he has homes amount on his to be paid. Mm. During his lifetime, yes. But he failed to do so because he was ill, he couldn't make time to do it. It's necessary that the heirs should take immediate action to relieve him of this obligation to pay the khums.
Yes.
You see, they cannot, for example, the heirs cannot refuse to abide or to confiscate the property.
Mm-hmm.
And avoid paying homes.
I see. Okay. There's another question let me ask at the end of this episode. Is it obligatory for employees having a surplus money remaining over their annual expenses to pay homes in light of the fact that they still owe some money, which is due, or should be paid in installments?
Well, if the date incurred during the year due to borrowing money for expenditure of the same year or due to purchase of some necessities for the same year on credit, it is subtracted from the remaining income at the end of the year. Because as long as you, for example, buy something on credit and then the salary is used to pay off the debt, in the same